ॐ तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ भद्रं कर्णे शृणुयाम देवात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः दृक् दृश्य विवेकः The book, which is believed to be authored by Vidyaranya Swami or Bharati Tirtha Swami, a small Vedantic treatise, a Prakarana Granthaha, which gives the complete vision of the Vedanta, Vedantic teaching. Through presenting mainly the topic of individual. Jiva Vichara is mainly highlighted. And this book presents there are five topics in this book. Five topics mean what? There are five topics in this book discussed. The whole book has five topics. That the last part, 32 to 46, which is a summary of the same teaching. The fifth part is what? Summary of the entire teaching is the fifth part, which is from the 32nd to 46th. And the first part, he introduces the first portion or first topic discussed is three illuminators being the composition of an individual. Isn't it? Three illuminators being the composition of individual. First topic. Three illuminators are the first topic. Let us see the first topic, then we'll go to the second topic is Second topic is the how these illuminators become and form, the formation and the functions of the three illuminators. The second topic. Third topic is samsara, the cause of samsara and the how to remove that samsara, cause of samsara. Solution for the removal of the problem of samsara. The problem of samsara and the cause of the problem of samsara, the solution for the removal of it is the third topic. Fourth topic is nididhyasanam. Is it the method of contemplation? Their contemplative method is the fourth topic. So these four topics cover the entire text. The fifth topic actually is what now the summary of the whole teaching is given in the fifth topic, you can say. That is from when, actually from verse number, five verses reveal the first topic, talk about the first topic. Three illuminators. Suppose he explains, he says, according to this author, who is an individual? Who is a vyaktihi? An individual, a human being. What is he actually? The active, alive human being is what now? Is alive human being because of the three illuminators. Isn't it? And here, there are the three illuminators. He says, the Sakshi, the absolute illuminator, and sense organs, the illuminators, Devaha, then mind, Devadevaha, and Sakshi, the absolute illuminator, Mahadevaha. Remember this, the sense organs are said to be the illuminators because of the functioning of the sense powers, in their respective golakams alone, what happens now? First of all, the sense, the perception of external world is possible. So the external world is the illumined external world of five different objects, is the illumined, and the sense organs are the illuminators. Therefore, sense organs are the illuminators. The external world of objects never becomes the illuminator. External world of objects is always the illumined. Therefore, we say absolutely illumined. Ever only the illumined. External world of objects never becomes the illuminator. It's always the illumined only. Therefore, what we say, that is why it's called jada prapancha. Understand how? The external world of objects always illumined. It never becomes the illuminator. Therefore, it is the absolutely illumined world of objects, which is very much dependent on the sense powers for them to be illumined, thereby to have the status of being the existent. Is it clear now? So there's two ways of giving, lending existence. Look at this. When you say clay lends existence to the pot, means if you remove the pot, clay cannot exist at all. Isn't it? Sorry, pot cannot exist at all. So clay lends existence to the pot means clay is the very existence of the pot. That's also existence as a material cause. Isn't it? I tell you now, if the light is opaque object shines. If light is not, opaque object is, but the opaque object will be, cannot shine, then it will be as good as non-existent. Isn't it? So actually for the existence, the opaque object is not, actually opaque object is, but not like pot. Isn't it? Pot is made of clay. Therefore, what now we say, existence of clay is the existence of pot. But that directly association is there. Isn't it? The pot is nothing but clay. But here, opaque object is completely different. Light is completely different. But still, the light is, in the absence of light, opaque object cannot shine. Cannot, there's no way of opaque object coming to light by itself. It doesn't have the capacity to come to light at all. It is dependent on the light for it to come to light. Only if it comes to light, it can be perceived. Then it has the status of being the existent. Therefore, we say existence of light is the existence of the opaque object. Therefore, light is the existence of the opaque object. Is it clear now? Similarly, in the same way, existence of sense powers is the existence of the external world of objects. Sense powers are, then they perceive, isn't it? Then the sense world shines. The world shines, then the world is as good as existent. If the world doesn't shine, even if it is, it's as good as non-existent. Is it clear now? Like the light and the opaque object. Existence of light is the existence of the opaque object. So also existence of sense powers is the existence of the external world of objects. That is why when you fall asleep, even if the world is existent, world is not there for you. It's not there for you, isn't it? What I'm saying here, the sense powers are said to be the illuminators. They have a status now. Status. What status? The person, when he goes to office, he has the name officer. The status, isn't it? Sense powers have the status of being the illuminators, because when they are then functioning, this world is perceived. Therefore, the world becomes illumined, well lit. Thereby, world shines, world is illumined. The world is always illumined, world never becomes the illuminator. For absolutely illumined, illuminated is the world of objects. Sense organs are the illuminators, devaha. Illuminator number one. then we say these sense powers themselves are inert, insentient, therefore they have to become sentient and conscious, thereby they can glow, they can shine, and then thereby they become the illuminators also, because they do not have consciousness and sentiency of their own, they borrow consciousness and sentiency from the conscious mind. Therefore, what now? They are also illumined. They had to be illumined in order to become the illuminators. Understand now? Therefore, they are illuminators from the standpoint of the external world, but from the standpoint of the mind, they are the illumined. And who are the illuminator? What is the illuminator here? Mind. So, mind is the illuminator number two, who illumines, because of which sense powers become illumined. So, Deva Devaha, the light of the five sense power lights. Now, five lights. What now? Mind. Mind is the illuminator, because then senses are the illumined. Here again, this mind also, you know very well, is nothing but many thoughts constitute the mind, constitution of the mind, thoughts. This mind also by itself, every thought is inert by itself. Now you know the what is inertness. Tattvabodha class, just now I taught you what is inertness. No thought knows its own existence. No thought has the capacity to shine by itself, isn't it? Every thought is what now? Doesn't have the capacity to reveal its presence by itself. Therefore, every thought also is what now? Inert by itself. Therefore, all the thoughts put together is the mind. All the thoughts, the entire mind, antahkarnam is. Even though you separate them as manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha, the samshayatmakam, manaha, nischayatmika, buddhihi, you say all these things, the mind as a whole is what now? Jadam manaha, jadam antahkaranam only. This mind first has to become conscious and sentient. This mind itself is dependent on something else for it to shine, to come to light. Therefore, the mind is illumined by what now? The some other light, which is called Sakshi, the mind is also illumined, thereby mind becomes conscious and sentient. So mind, which is jadam by itself, borrows consciousness, borrows sentiency from the Sakshi, becomes conscious and sentient, and not only it becomes conscious and sentient, it has the capacity to illumine the sense organs, thereby it also enjoys the status of being the illuminator, knower. Mind also knows. Mind has the status of being the knower. Mind has the status of being the illuminator. Mind, isn't it? Therefore, mind also is what now? Deva Devaha. So, mind, how does mind? We can say, mind is like the moon. Moon which does not have light of its own, which borrows light from the sun, then illumines the earth on full moon day. Similarly, this mind doesn't have consciousness of its own. It becomes conscious and sentient, borrowing consciousness from the Sakshi. Then it also, what now? It lends light consciousness to the sense organs also. So sense organs, sense powers do not have the direct access to actually consciousness. Even the consciousness is there in the sense powers already, but the manifest consciousness, reflection consciousness, it borrows. We'll see that later on. Anyway, so this mind becomes conscious. So mind is the illuminator to Deva Devaha. Jyotisham Jyotihi. Jyotishaha Jyotisham Jyotihi. So, Jyotisham Jyoti, no? Jyotishaha Jyotihi. Paranjyotihi is what now? Mahadevaha is what now? Sakshi. There is a Sakshi is the illuminator of the mind. Sakshi is the illuminator of the mind, and Sakshi is never illumined. Sakshi is ever the illuminator, never becomes the illumined. Why? Because Sakshi is of the nature of self-effulgence. Isn't it? Sakshi is not illumined by anything else. Sakshi is always the illuminator. Therefore, we say what? No. And we say Sakshi by its mere presence. It illumines everything. Therefore, we say what? No. Sakshi is called Sakshi. What is that Sakshi actually? We'll see in the fifth verse. No? So, Sakshi, the witness. We say witness because these mind goes through three different states, and every different states, the thoughts are resolved in deep sleep state, thoughts are not resolved in deep sleep state, all the thoughts are there in waking state, the thoughts are there, thoughts are resolved, some thoughts are there, some thoughts are not there, so, but still witnessing, like the witness, like the fourth person, Sakshi is, why we call Sakshi, is called Sakshi, because like the witness, it is there, oh, thoughts are there, thoughts are not there, thoughts are now there. Thoughts are now not there. Like that, like the witness, Sakshi is there. The consciousness is there. The consciousness is not the Sakshi, but consciousness has a status. Now what now? It is known as Sakshi because like the witness, consciousness is always there. So the thoughts are the Sakshyaha, witnessed, and Sakshi is the consciousness. You know, this is the Sakshi is not illumined by anything else. Therefore, Sakshi is said to be the absolute illuminator, Mahadevaha. These two other mind and sense organs are said to be the relative illuminators. Why? Because they are illumined, the illuminators, but they are also illumined. Therefore, they are said to be the relative illuminators. Okay, the first four verses is the subject matter and how they illumine, etc. We saw Dila, Peter, Stola, Sukshma, Khatri, go home and then read the homework. Then fifth verse, a beautiful verse, which talks about the Swarupam of the Sakshi. The first, we are still in the first topic, okay. Swarupam of the Sakshi is unfold where? In the fifth verse. And there are five important, you have to memorize that verse. No deti nastameti, you know? Nastameti, na vriddhim yati nakshayam, na vriddhim yati nakshayam. Swayam vibhati, athanyani, bhasayet sadhanam vina, bhasayet sadhanam vina. So, Sakshi is of the nature of timelessness, Sakshi is of the nature of eternity, Sakshi is of the nature of changelessness, Sakshi is of the nature of all pervasiveness, motionlessness, actionlessness, Sakshi is the nature of silence, and Sakshi is of the nature of self-illumining or self-effulgence. The Sakshi is the nature of all illumining. What is the Sakshi? Sakshi is nothing but Chitihi, consciousness, and this consciousness, which is like the witness now, is what now? Actually, sadhanam vina, without any instrument, without any action, without any effort, without involving any will, by its mere presence, it illumines the mind. Thereby, it illumines the senses indirectly. It illumines the whole jagat. Okay, that's the fifth verse. So, illuminator's topic is over with the fifth verse. Then, sixth onwards till the 12th, formation and the functions. Because the fifth verse talks about the nature, swarupam of Sakshi. Na udeti, na astameti. Actually, this verse is enough. You remember for every, wherever you go for any Vedanta, remember this verse is enough. One verse is enough to remember the Sakshi. Na udeti, na astameti, na vriddhim yati, na kshayam yati, swayam vibhati, ata anyani, sadhanam vina, bhasayati. Remember this, na bhasayet, sadhanam vina. Remember this, it's enough. It tells you everything. So beautiful verse this is. Now you can say, therefore you can understand what now, we don't need to talk about the formation of the absolute illuminator. You have to see how each illuminator is formed. Formation of illuminators and their functions is the second topic. How the absolute illuminator is formed, you cannot say. Why absolute illuminator is not at all formed? Why it is not? Anything formed has a beginning. But because we have already seen Sakshi, the absolute illuminator, is of the nature of timelessness, because the verse says it is eternity, because the verse says na udeti na astameti. It doesn't have beginning, doesn't have end, means. And then what is its swarupam? When does it start, it begin to illumine? Its swarupam is self-effulgence, always illumining, isn't it? So the illumination on the part of the Sakshi does not have a beginning. Why? The consciousness itself has no beginning. The swarupam also does not begin. You can't say, when does the fire start burning? When does the fire start? When does it begin to burn things? Fire will burn any time. Okay, always. That is swarupam. Fire is means burning capacity of nature also along with it, isn't it? Therefore, this consciousness is beginningless. Therefore, that illumination also is what? It's a very intrinsic swarupam. It's also beginningless. Therefore, we don't talk about the formation of the absolute illuminator. Why absolute illuminator is eternal, is of the nature of timelessness, it's of the nature of self-effulgence. Therefore, absolute illuminator is not formed. Absolute illuminator is called absolute illuminator because it is of the nature of all self-effulgence and all illumining. Therefore, that's not formed. Okay, number one is gone. Number one, absolute illuminator is over. And what about the next? He says very beautifully. He explains how the relative illuminator mind becomes illumined. Remember that word? Chichaya veshato buddhau bhanam. He stops one line. Chichaya veshataha buddhau bhanam. Only one small hand. Remember that. Formation of illuminator number two, the buddhi. What is the sentence here? Chichaya veshataha buddhau bhanam. The illumination on the part of the mind. Is it? The mind is illumined. Illumination on the part of the mind because of the chichaya, vichichaya, chit pratibhimbaha, or chidabhasaha. Learn three words. Chichaya, chidabhasaha, chit pratibhimbaha. All the words mean the same. Reflection of consciousness, or reflected consciousness, or manifest consciousness. Is it okay? Chichaya veshataha, due to the tasil pancham yarthe tasil. Chichaya veshataha, in the reflection consciousness naladan. How will you say due to the manifestation of consciousness, due to the reflection of consciousness in the buddhi, okay, in the mind, there is illumination. Now how there is illumination in the room? Prakash, Surya Prakashasya Praveshat, Surya Prakasha Aveshataha, now Prakoshte Bhanam. It means what does it mean? There is illumination in this room because of the entry of the light. Means what? A light doesn't walk entering. Just for example, isn't it? Entry means you have to understand. So Buddha Bhanam Chichaya Aveshataha. It's over. Lesson is over. How does it become this mind? Now you know very well, material product and insentient, and it's not conscious, but becomes illumined. There is illumination of the mind because of the chichaya, reflection of consciousness. Is it clear now? Therefore, now you understand what now this the mind is also what now? Always there. And then the consciousness is always there. Therefore, whenever mind is, thoughts are, then there is reflection of consciousness. But mind serves as a reflecting medium, manifesting medium, especially designed, sophisticated medium wherein consciousness can become, consciousness can manifest, consciousness can be reflected. Is it clear now? But for the reflection of consciousness, mind cannot become illumined. Mind, there cannot be illumination on the part of the mind. There cannot be illuminator. How illuminator to Deva Devaha is formed, is said by this one sentence. Chichaya Veshataha. Okay, then what happened? And then this mind and the this reflection of consciousness, chaya, this aikyam, the aikyam is what now ahankar. He talked about two aspects of the mind in the same context. Don't get confused, okay? I'm not going to use a technique, the words in the book. Ahankritihi and antahkarnam here, two words used in the textbook. You have to remember dravyamshaha and vritti amshaha. It's only for understanding the mind. Don't take very seriously and get confused about it. The mind is of two aspects, dravyamshaha and vritti amshaha. The entire mind has what now? Is the illumination. Entire mind becomes illumined and there is reflection of consciousness on the part of both vritti amsha and the dravya amsha. Thereby what now? Oh, entire mind is well lit. There be what now? Entire mind has the capacity to illumine. And this vritti amsha is of the nature of expansion, contraction, whereas the dravya amshaha doesn't, is firm. That's why the vrittis are of the nature of expansion and contraction. They can move through the sense powers. They can go out through the sense powers. Isn't it? And then how long can the ray of consciousness, of reflection of consciousness, how far can it go? No, so far it can illumine. Whatever objects fall within the range of the rays of light of consciousness, isn't it? Then the objects become illumined. In fact, please remember very carefully, external objects do not go into your mind and get illumined. Thoughts go out and illumine. You know that? Thoughts go out and illumine the external objects. The vritti is antahkarana vritti. Every vritti is like a ray of light. Antahkarana vrittayaha, they are of the nature of expansion. All the vrittis are resolved in deep sleep state and the vrittis, again, they rise. When the vrittis rise, you call it what now? Mind is functional means vrittis rise. Vrittis rise means they also reflect consciousness. The vritti comes, reflection of consciousness is. Vritti resolves, reflection goes. Vritti comes, reflection is. Vritti goes, resolves. Isn't it? Reflection is not there. Reflection also resolves. Isn't it? It's like vritti. So the vritti is, we say what now? This is to every sense power the vritti goes. Because, isn't it? That's why this we say the vrittis go out through the senses and then when they in the whatever objects fall within the realm of those conscious vrittis, actually what now? Then the objects become illumined. Then cognition takes place. What cognition? Now we say, oh, light is. Means what now? That is a light cognition is. Light cognition, how it is? Because there is the vritti, antakarna vritti. Now it becomes awake. So always it goes out. Constantly we are seeing. Continuously. Then the vritti goes out and within the vritti, the light object falls. It becomes illumined. Similarly, sound. Somebody is speaking. The vritti also goes through the ears. So, through five different senses, actually, antakana vrittis pass out and then vrittis pervade the object. Then vritti, because of which the cognition takes place. It's very important thing to remember. Objects do not enter the mind and cognition does not take place. Vrittis go out, thereby cognition takes place. So for cognition also is a vritti. what is cognition? Antahkarana vritti with the reflection of consciousness. A vritti never is an inert vritti. It is always conscious vritti. Why? Because vritti is always in the presence of what? Consciousness only. Consciousness is eternal. Whenever vritti comes, becomes illumined. Isn't it? So therefore, conscious, the vritti, isn't vritti is. Vritti goes out. Vritti pervades, the cognition takes place. Imagine now, minus consciousness. There's no reflection of consciousness. There is no cognition. So cognition is a conscious thought. Is it clear now? A vritti, antahkarana vritti jnanam. You can say knowledge or cognition. What is knowledge? A thought. Isn't it? A thought, knowledge means what? It implies what? A thought with reflected consciousness. We don't need to separate it. I'm saying, you have to remember this. What is cognition? A thought with reflection of consciousness. Is it clear now? Therefore, this buddho banam dhistu dvidhasthita eka ahankritihi anya antahkarana rupini is antahkaranam. And this ahankritihi, the two are what now? Dravyamshaha and vrittyamshaha, which, in fact, of which vrittyamshaha is of the nature of expansion, contraction, because it goes out, what now? A conscious vritti goes out. A conscious vritti is like a ray of light. You have to, when we do Dakshinamurti Stotram, you will also understand much better the same meaning. It's very beautifully explained there. And then, so there is knowledge. Cognition takes place. Now, is it clear now? Arivu, cognition takes place because of this vritti amsha only. Vrittis do not go out means what? Suppose the light is outside, the light comes out. Isn't it? Comes in, actually, light comes out. Light is only in the sun means what happens? Isn't it? Light goes, the beams of light, they go everywhere. They travel, isn't it? Like that. So consciousness does not travel. But reflection of light travels through what? Through vritti. Goes out. That's how Jagat becomes illumined. Even though consciousness is everywhere, but objects do not shine because of the consciousness. Because of the reflection of consciousness. Consciousness is all pervasive, it is everywhere, but objects do not shine because of the existence of consciousness. Objects shine because of what now? Manifestation of consciousness. Is it clear now? See, consciousness is there everywhere already. Everywhere consciousness is, every object is pervaded by consciousness. But for the object pervaded by consciousness to come to light, to have the status of being existent, isn't it? It has to reflect light, isn't it? It has to reflect consciousness. It has to reflect, come to light. How does it come to light? It is pervaded by vrittis. Vrittis only, vrittis have to go out, the conscious vrittis have to go out, pervade the objects, then cognition takes place. Is it clear now? That's how this, for the vrittis to go out also, what now? You need the sense powers and all that. Anyway, so this is how illuminator number one is formed. Okay, buddhav banam, this you understand the vritti amshaha, then this is dravya amshaha. I'll make it very clear, wait. Then later on, we say, this chichayayaha aikyam, now how this reflection of consciousness and the mind, how they are united, how they are inseparably united, how this mind becomes the illuminator, he says, how just as the iron ball by itself is black and cold, becomes bright and hot because of association with what now? Fire. So it doesn't have heat of its own, it doesn't have brilliance of its own, it becomes hot and brilliant because of its association with fire. Remember? So, tatta ayah pindavat, தப்த அயப்பிண்டவது சிச்சாயையோரைக்கியம் தப்தாயப்பிண்டவது தப்த அயப்பிண்டவது ஜஸ்ட் அஸ் வெல் ஹிட் அயன் பால் பிகம்ஸ் ஹாட் அண்ட் பிரில்லியன்ட் சோ ஆல்சோ தி மைண்ட் பிகம்ஸ் கான்சியஸ் அண்ட் சென்ஷியன்ட் பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் இட்ஸ் அசோசியேஷன் வித் ரிஃப்ளெக்ஷன் ஆஃப் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் It's clear now. It shows that you have to understand what lends the heat, what borrows the heat. What lends brilliance, who borrows the brilliance. Fire does not borrow lens. Iron ball does nothing but borrowing. Is it now? It becomes hot and brilliant. Similarly, mind becomes the illuminator. Then the iron ball has a capacity to what now? It will burn. It's also glowing now. Similarly, mind becomes conscious and sentient. Mind becomes the illuminator. That's also he said. Because of the association, not only the... Now first he said, the consciousness is there. There's a reflection of consciousness in the mind. Because of which there is illumination of the mind, he said. Not only mind is illumined, this association being such... What association being such means, that it is like the association of the iron ball and the fire, well heated iron ball and the fire. So also this mind also becomes what now? Has the capacity to illumine. Becomes the illuminator also. Chichayor aikyam taptayah pindavate matam. Now, what next is, this is how the illuminator number two, the mind, Deva Devaha, is formed. Is it clear now? This topic is over. Now, this conscious mind, what does it do? This conscious mind as a whole, which is of two aspects, the mind which is of two aspects, Dravya Amshaha and Vritti Amshaha, the mind of these two aspects, the whole mind as a whole, what now? It has a reflection of consciousness. Therefore, it is illumined. Then the association of this mind with the consciousness, reflection of consciousness, is like the association of the iron ball with the heat fire, like the heated iron ball, not an ordinary iron ball. Heat iron ball, it has become conscious and it has the capacity to illumine also. This conscious mind, where is it located? In the physical body. Okay. When this physical body, now he comes to the next illuminator number three. How the illuminator number one, sense organs become the illuminators. How do the sense organs become the illuminators? It is said in the next line. He says, this tadatmyat, due to the association of this body with that conscious mind. Then now, next line. This conscious mind is what now associated with the physical body. The mind has association with the reflection of consciousness, thereby it becomes the illuminator too, isn't it? Then what happens is, because of this conscious mind associated with the physical body, thereby what now? Dehaha chetanatamagat. Body becomes conscious. Understand now? So body, that is why we should not mistake. Never does any object lack consciousness. Every object, every nama rupa, alive or dead, or living or non-living, is always pervaded by pure original consciousness. Never does it lack consciousness. Tapping of consciousness is not possible. We may have lots of water in the reservoir, but for the water to come to our house, we need certain, like that consciousness is always there. The pure consciousness, original consciousness, without which reflection of consciousness is not at all possible. That consciousness is always everywhere in everything and without moving, changelessly. But still, isn't it, for something to become conscious, isn't it? It needs something reflection of consciousness. Father, the object must be what no, must be that, okay, that capable of reflecting it, manifesting it, isn't it? So here we say, this sense, this body, but otherwise what would have been? It would have been inert. The body becomes conscious and sentient because of its association with that conscious mind. Tadatmyat. Due to the association of the body with the conscious mind, body becomes conscious and sentient. When the body becomes conscious and sentient, in the every golakam, the sense power also becomes what now? Conscious and sentient, and then it has become, they become the illuminators. Imagine the body is dead. The mind is not there, means sense power won't be sitting there. Sense power also would have left. So the body is, mind is, sense powers also are there, but sense powers themselves cannot illumine without the physical body. The physical body without sense powers also cannot be, what no, cannot have the, just the eyes cannot see things, sense organs cannot be the illuminators. The powers, indriyani, jnana indriyani, isn't it? So jnana indriyani start operating as sense illuminators, isn't it? When, only when the body becomes conscious. How does the body become conscious? Because of association with the conscious mind. Is it clear? Clear or not? Now you know, it's the formation of the sense organ, illuminator number one, the sense organs. How do the sense organs become the illuminators? The body becomes body becomes conscious and sentient. Sense organs become alive and sentient, then sense powers also start operating as what now? Illuminators. The office room must be available for the officer to start working. Sense powers are, but sense powers, for the sense powers to start functioning as sense organs, isn't it? Illuminators. Office must be available. Golakam must become conscious. How do the all the golakams, the skin is all over the body, isn't it? The whole skin, the ears, these eyes, nose and tongue, and thereby the whole physical body also must become what now? Conscious and sentient. Only then there can be the illuminator number one, the sense organs start functioning as illuminators. Is it clear now? So body has to become conscious for the sense organs to become the illuminators. How the illuminator sense organs are formed? Illuminator number one is formed when the body becomes conscious. When does the body become conscious? When it is associated with the mind. Which mind? Conscious mind. How it is conscious? Which is like a tapta of pinda, which is like a heated iron ball, which is conscious and sentient, like the well-heated iron ball, due to its association with the reflection of consciousness. Is it clear? So, formation of the three illuminators. Number one, absolute illuminator is not formed, we know very well. How the mind becomes the illuminator, we know. How the sense organs also become the illuminator, also now illuminators also we know. Is it clear? It's over. Now we can understand, sense organs are the illuminators, the corresponding illumined is what now? The external world of objects. Mind is the illuminator and sense powers are the illumined, corresponding illumined. And the Sakshi is the illuminator of the mind, is the Sakshi, and mind is the illumined. Three illuminators, and what they are, what are the, no, illumined. the illumined corresponding illuminated objects. Is it clear? This is number two topic also is over. Now this is how the whole, what happens, the relative illuminators alone are known, and here what actually the I, isn't it? What is this I? Because ours, the I is associated with the relative illuminators. Sorry. Relative illuminators. In fact, I has to be identified with what? Absolute illuminator. If I is identified with absolute illuminator, then there is freedom. I is identified with relative illuminators, then there is bondage. Bandha. What is bondage? Being bound is bondage. Being bound means being limited. Really speaking, absolute illuminator is never bound, but is notionally bound. Isn't it? Bondage is notional. If I am, isn't it? Is okay. Anything added to I am becomes what now? Makes an individual now. Bound. Really speaking, there is no bondage. Anyway, purely notional. The third topic comes. From where? From verse number 13 to 21. Samsara karanam and tasya nivruttihi cha. Third topic. What is the cause of samsara? Samsarasya karanam tasya nivruttischa. Nivrutti upayaha cha. Nivritti upayaha. What is the cause of samsara? He is going to talk about. In the context of why? In the context of talk about the cause of samsara, the author presents the srishtihi, presents the topic of creation also. He explains the meaning of the word srishti. It is very important to know the samsara karanam, cause of samsara, in order to find the solution for the removal of samsara. Isn't it? The cause itself is not known. How are you going to find the solution? Isn't it? It's very important to know the cause. Only then finding a solution for any problem is very, very, very easy. Know that. When, if you know the cause of the problem. If the cause of the problem is not known, finding a solution for the problem will be difficult. Any doctor is so good expert, why? He has the solution for your disease, the problem of disease. Why you don't have the solution, why the doctor has? He knows the cause of the disease, problem. You do not know, as a patient, you do not know the cause. The doctor prescribes this medicine, diagnosing you. Why? He knows the cause of the problem. Isn't it? He can tell you. One number, 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. So similarly, here also, cause. It's very important to know the cause of the problem. First, whenever you have a problem, try to find the cause of the problem. Don't search a solution for the problem. You don't even know what is the cause of the problem. Then, your solution will just jump in front of you. Come on, I'm here. Cause has to be understood. That is the intelligent way of freeing oneself from any problem. So the teacher presents the samsara, cause of the samsara he talks about first. In order to find a solution, remedy for that. But in that context he talks about what now? Srishtihi. And for which he talks about the what now? Maya. Now it says, there is this Sakshi is nothing but Chaitanyam, consciousness, and that consciousness is what now, only with reference to every individual's mind, it gets the name Sakshi, really speak as the witness of every mind. This Sakshi actually is what now, this consciousness is what now, is of the nature of beginninglessness, endlessness, changelessness, all-pervasiveness, motionlessness. You know, it is this Nityaha, Sarvagataha, Sthanahu, Achalaha, Ayam, Sanatanaha. Remember Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter finished, so you have to remember that now. Nityaha, Sarvagataha, Sthanahu, Achalaha, Ayam, Sanatanaha, Ajaha, Na Jayate, Na Mriyate. You have to remember all those things hereafter. So this is what consciousness, all-pervasive means, isn't it? This consciousness, Sakshi, this consciousness is always, and there is some shaktihi, imperceptible, inexplicable, okay, which cannot be described at all. That shaktihi is there. That shakti is what now? Imperceptible, invisible, inexplicable, anirvachya, isn't it? The shakti is called maya. This maya is there. This maya is of twofold shaktis, powers. Maya is twofold powers. What are they? Avarana shaktihi, vikshepa shaktihi, or you can say vikshepa shaktihi, avarana shaktihi. The very word vikshepa shaktihi says power of throwing up, the power of projection, projecting power is called what now? I don't want to just use the word projecting, the power of throwing everything like, isn't it? It's called vikshepa shaktihi. Then, avarana shakti means the power of concealing, veiling and covering. So, the beginning of creation, what happens? This power does not have the independent existence. The power always needs location, locus. The power is, the power cannot exist by itself. Like you all can understand, seeing power is, but seeing power minus Golakam cannot exist by itself. It needs a location always, isn't it? Like this, the maya also is what no shaktihi. And this author person so beautifully, this at the time of, what does it, when this samashti prarabdha gets ready for operation, ready for exhaustion. Samashti prarabdha is ready for exhaustion. Then what happens? The maya shaktihi, the change comes on the part of the maya. Maya is disturbed. Maya is, isn't it? Then what happens? Vikshepa Shakti starts operating. All the names and forms become manifest. All whole Jagat constitution of Namarupani, varieties of Namarupani are all what now? Unmanifest. And then they become manifest. So all the unmanifest Namarupani becoming manifest, the manifestation of the unmanifest names and forms happens when the Vikshepa Shakti starts operating. So what, okay, due to the operation of Vikshepa Shakti, unmanifest Namarupani, Avyakrita Namarupani, okay, unmanifest avyakta namarupani, vyakta namarupani bhavanti. Avyakrita namarup, undifferentiated names and forms become differentiated names and forms. Avyakritam, unmanifest becomes manifest. Unmanifest becomes manifest. Undifferentiated becomes differentiated. Is clear now? Therefore, what maya itself is nothing but unmanifest names and forms. Undifferentiated names and forms is maya, isn't it? And the vikshepa shakti starts operating means what? All the unmanifest names and forms, undifferentiated names and forms become manifest and differentiated. Then there this avarna shakti only after the vikshepa shakti's function is over, job is over, avarna shakti starts operating. What does the avarna shakti do? It covers. It covers. It covers what? It covers internally. It covers externally also. It covers internally, externally, fine. What does it cover internally? Internally, it covers the difference between the sakshi and the mind. Okay? Externally, it covers the difference between the existence, Brahman, and Namarupa. Internally, it covers the difference between Chitta, the consciousness, Sakshi, and the Drishyam, the mind. Internally, the Drik, the seer of the mind, illuminator of the mind, internally is Drik. The Drik is what now? Sakshi. Sakshi is what now? Chitta, the consciousness. Internally, the Avarna Shakti covers the difference between discrimination between Sakshi, the consciousness, Chitta, and Drishyam, the mind. Externally, also, it covers the difference between Brahman, the existence, and Namarupa, Prapancha. This is externally and internally. At two levels, the Avarna Shakti covers. So, what if it covers? That is why the problem comes. Isn't it? So, in this context, he said very beautifully, one thing you have to remember, these names and forms, unmanifest names and forms are already there. The manifestation of the unmanifest names and forms is called Srishtihi. Therefore, there is no such thing called coming into existence of something newly. There is no such thing called creation. Really speaking, creation is nothing but manifestation of the already existing unmanifest names and forms. Undifferentiated unmanifest names and forms is Srishtihi. And again, the same names and forms at the time of deluge, it is very incomprehensible for us when the becoming unmanifest is called Pralayaha. In between Srishtihi and Pralayaha, that what is there is Sthitihi. In the Sthiti itself, we many times come and go, quickly come and go. That is our problem. That is why we are not able to understand. When the Srishti was, we do not know. Isn't it? We can never know Pralaya. Why? After Srishti only you are here. Before Srishti, Pralayam, you will all disappear. So how are you going to? You are not here to see. Oh, this is our test. We can see our tomato plant every day becoming two tomatoes. Every day go and watch twice. How many are there? How many flowers are there? And I have taken order for many kilos of potatoes, tomatoes from everywhere. Only I have few now. This I can watch. But our Srishti and our Pralayam, potato, tomato, Srishti, Pralayam, we can see. Pralayam happens when we make sambar, okay? But we can't see the Srishti Pralayam of Jagat. Because we will not be there. Before Srishti, we are not there. We are here only after Srishti. Before Pralayam, after the Pralayam again, we would have disappeared. So we can never understand. That is why it will be ever mystery. But it's a fact. You can understand now using your buddhi very well. So what Shastram says is, these whole Jagat is nothing but constitution of Namarupa. Nothing is created here. Nothing. everything is new created. Oh, the whole Namarupa Prapancha is what now? Unmanifest, undifferentiated. Then it was called Maya. Where was it? In Brahman, the Chaitanya. Then Vikshepa Shakti, Avana Shakti are there. It starts operating. Vikshepa Shakti starts operating. All the Namarupas become manifest. This manifestation of the unmanifest, undifferentiated Namarupa is called Srishtihi. The manifest Namarupas and becoming unmanifest, undifferentiated is called Pralayaha. In between Srishti and Pralayaha, what we have is Sthitihi. In sthiti only we come and go, come and go, come and go. Understand? And then don't even worry about this. This is a natural thing which we don't have any say over it. And this avarna shakti starts operating. Now I told you, after the vikshepa shakti finishes its work, avarna shakti starts operating. Avarna Shakti operates only at the individual level. Very important. Every individual mind alone, it works. Okay? Individual level means there is something called ignorance. Ignorance is nothing but what now? The expression of the function of the operation of the Avarna Shakti. It covers the difference between drikkandrishyam internally, consciousness and the thoughts internally, and externally it covers this difference between existence and the namarupa. Thereby what happens, now leave what it covers outside. Once the difference is covered, then naturally the chit is not known due to the covering. Chit being the absolute illuminator, being the meaning of the word I is not known, then naturally, then identity becomes what now? Because of this covering alone, there is something called adhyasaha happens. What is adhyasaha? Mistaking the mind, the relative illuminator for the I. In fact, today I'm going to tell you little slightly differently. Understand today, this relative illuminator and the illumined mind, relative illuminated the sense powers, that illuminator and the illumined mind and the sense powers together with the is what now is called Jivaha. Jiva means what? Jivaha. Who is Jiva here? Relatively illumined, relative illuminator, the mind which is relative illuminator, relatively illumined, isn't it? This sense organs which are relatively illuminator, relative illuminators and relatively illumined. Why do you say relatively illumined? Because the world is the absolutely illumined. World never becomes the illuminator, always illumined. The sense powers are illuminators. They're also illumined. Therefore, relative illuminator, also relatively illumined. Mind also is relative illuminators, relatively illumined. This mind and sense powers together, we say what now? Ahankaraha. What is the now? Ahankaraha. This relative illuminator, illumined mind, relative illuminator, illumined sense organs, together we say what now? Ahankaraha. What is ahankaraha? Who? You know, now that's where jivatvam comes. Who is a karta, bhokta, doer, enjoyer, sufferer, samsari? This ahankara. Understand now? See, ahankara you have to understand ahankara means what now? The knowledge I am is ahankara. Anything added to the notion I am is ahankara. Isn't it? Wrong notion about the self is ahankara. Isn't it? And what is that now? These two illuminators, the relative illuminator mind, relative illuminator sense organs, they are also relatively illumined also. Therefore, what do we say now? They together called, we say, you can say Ahankara. This is what is what now actually Karta. Who is the Karta? Karta. Not a physical body. Okay? Just without this Ahankara, there is no, this isn't it? Karta. This Ahankara identified with also what now? Physical body becomes what now? Jivaha. The relative illuminator mind, relative illuminator sense organs together becomes Ahankara. Little well, differently I have to understand. Identified with the physical body also becomes what now? Jivaha. And who is now, this Ahankara is the Karta, this Ahankara is the Bhokta, the Ahankara is the Samsari, one who is born again and going, coming back, going, coming back, going. Punarapi Jananam. Who object to this? This Ahankara. Is there now? The Ahankara is what now? Karta, Bhokta, Samsari. But absolute illuminator, the Sakshi, now you can say, is not a samsari, not a karta. Sakshi, the consciousness, is not karta, not bhokta. Is it not a samsari? Does not come and go. And goes to different houses to stay also like me. Okay? And then, I mean, this is not samsari, isn't it? Doesn't it goes to different new bodies, takes new bodies, isn't it? Samsara. Who is Karta now? This Ahankara. Who is Bhokta? This Ahankara. Who goes through the pain and pleasure? Sufferer. Who is suffering? Where is pain? Where is pleasure? Who is Samsari now? Who is the one who is born, who leaves his house again, goes to another room, another new house, goes to another new body? Who travels? Jiva. So this Ahankara. You said no? Ahankara. Which is Ahankara here? This together. The relative illuminator mind, relative illuminator sense organs, together is Ahankara. You can't understand this point if I told you much earlier. Do you get the point now? Do you get what? Who is suffering now? There is no suffering without this mind and senses. There is no pain, there is no pleasure, there is no experience, there is no sukha, dukkha, anubhava. Identified with this body also is what now? Jiva. Jivatvam. Now all this jivatvam, the samsaritvam belongs to Ahankara. Now what this avarna shakti covers the difference between drik and Ahankara. Sakshi and Ahankara. The relative absolute illuminator Sakshi and the relative illuminator's mind and sense organs, the Ahankara, is what now? This difference is covered by the Avarna Shakti. Then when what happens? The samsaritvam, jivatvam, the problems belong, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, belonging to the doership, enjoyership, the problem of, this life of transmigration, everything belongs to what now? This Ahankara, is it? Superimposed upon what now? Not really superimposed, not really given, but falsely transferred to this absolute illuminator. There is a aropath, jivatvam, aropath. This false transference of the samsaritvam belongs to what? Ahankara. Kartrutvam, doership belongs to what? Ahankara. Enjoyship belongs to what? Ahankara. It's all this is falsely transferred to what? Absolute illuminator Sakshi. You can say, Sakshi Ahankarayoho Bhedam Avrunoti. Why? That is the Bhedam is Avrunoti. It covers the difference. Therefore, all the problems, this Ahankara is mistaken for Aham. Understand now? Ahankara is what? No. Mistaken for the Sakshi. Reality. Then all the problems of samsara, the samsaritvam belonging to the ahankara superimposed, falsely transferred to absolute illuminator. Thereby what happens now? There is adhyasa, adhyaropa, because of which, there's also what, adhyaropa, then ahankaraha. Now I tell you, the wrong notion about the self also comes. Ahankara comes. And then now, and that notion is, because of that notion, what happens now? There is an asha, desire, and desire impels you to do karma, and we don't know what to do, isn't it? And you only do karma, do that and this, and karma produces palam, that is the order, that is how Bhagavan is, that is the law and order. The karma produces palam, you are studying now in a beautiful chapter, the fourth chapter. No, ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sathe bhajamyaham. Whatever you work for, you definitely get it. The whatever you are aspiring for is the ultimate goal for you. Ultimate goal is Bhagavan for anybody. Whether religious or spiritual or not, that is Bhagavan for you. You work for it and you get the fruit. That fruit is determined by who? Nobody can stop you from getting what you want, what you are working for constantly, continuously. Because that is niyati, that law and order which determines the fruit of what you are aspiring for, what you are desiring for, what you are working for, you know, if continuously. That definitely determined by niyati. That niyati is the Lord. Law and order, isn't it? Therefore, what no karma you do, Bhagavan is in the form of very law and order, where you have karma phalam. Once you have the phalam, you know, I wanted the phalam, but now I don't want to eat it. I bought it, now I don't want to eat it. So I want to give it away to you. Another person, why this person doesn't want to eat? Okay, better you eat it. Understand? Then you have to exhaust also. At least something which we buy, things which don't want. And afterwards, after buying it, we feel useless. Then you want to give it away to somebody who can use it. That's why I got a lot of things also. I'm not saying Rupal gave me all useful things for me. Sometimes I get useless things also, but I don't want to hurt people. I accept it. Then I also give it to somebody who definitely uses it. Now what I'm saying, because rupees are not keeping, okay, I'm not giving away. So what I'm saying here, so things are which are, I mean, what I'm saying here, this is, fruit has to be exhausted. Once you're exhausting means what now? Again you are accumulating, with the ahankara, this ajnanam continues, ahankara's life doesn't come to an end, isn't come continuous. This is samsara is there. Why samsaraha? We have found out. What is the cause of samsara? Avaranam. Because of the avaranam. Because of the covering of the difference between dritti sakshi and drishyam. The ahankara, the relative illuminators, mind and sense powers. It's clear now. There's no difference. I is identified all over here. This samsara. And what is the nivritti upayaha? How to get rid of the samsara? I has to be shifted from this ahankara, relative illuminators. What is that? Sense powers and the mind. And it has to be, need not be placed actually, identified with, recognized with, what now? Sakshi, the pure consciousness. For which one has to do what? Shravanam, mananam, edidhyasanam. With the help of the competent teacher. Then, not that one class, two classes, very regularly one has to go to the class. Even if you have headache, and running nose, fever, still you should try to come and sit in the class. Commitment to the thing will definitely help you bear with anything. I know you can't concentrate, focus, and all, doesn't matter, but still you have to come and sit in the class. once you come and sit, at least you then, once you try to turn your attention to something else, then if attention is not paid, even the pain will disappear. That is the trick, you know. What, that's the trick really. The attention has to be diverted. When the pain wants attention, that's what it comes to you. Pain wants attention, it takes all attention. The whole attention, the attention is not there for, when you are suffering with the pain, attention is not there for food, water, taste, pleasure, enjoying the color, seeing, going out, enjoying the sun, nothing. All is taken away by your pain. Pain. That is the nature of the pain. I mean, any pain I'm saying, I tell you, for simple reasons, now we should not bunk the classes. But for simple reasons, okay, small reasons. And any program you have on the days of class, please let me know beforehand. So I'll also plan something and go away something, do something else. Because I sit here for the class and you have your own programs, and then I come to know suddenly, then I can't even do anything about it. I had to just be sitting, wasting my time. That's why I won't tell you. I'm not saying you should not have other things. I mean, just inform me so that I will plan my day before that. I'll also, and people want to come and see me. No, don't come. I have class. I tell people like that. So tell me that. Anyway, so what I'm saying here, this Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, see, Shastram really wants a commitment to study. It's not a Harikatha in the temple, one day you can go, one day you can bunk. This is something, it's like learning your physics. How committed you are to your physics class or your mathematics class, it's like very systematic, regular commitment to study. No? You're not simply coming and learning in the class alone. After the class, what has been said in the class, you have to recollect the points and then write down the notes and then make. How are you going to assimilate otherwise? You will forget otherwise. Because I'm repeating here, it's okay. Otherwise, I'm repeating also. Because I don't think you come with the same mind. You know, you forget completely after 1 week, nobody touches anything. When you come back and I had to bring you back to the same class, I had to repeat. And then again, if you suppose something you remember, and then you feel bored also in my repetition. Because I had to make sure, you all remember that. So I had to repeat. So Shravanam, and then whatever you have heard here in the class, again and again and again, what has been said in the class, doesn't matter, repetitive, boring. Still, you repeatedly do it with some mananam. Isn't it? And that is how things become really clear. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. When you do with the help of the teacher, Shravanam and Mananam and Nididhyasanam will be taken care of by your own understanding. Then once you have Jnanam, and then you will have the this Avarna Shaktihi can be resolved. How? Only by Jnanam. What is absolutely real, what is empirically real, what is satyam, what is mithya, what is that source of illumination, what is that which is relatively illumined, what is what, and you understand what the mind is, what the sense organs are, what this body is, what is its nature, what this jagat is all about, when you understand, then through study, you understand the satya. The chitta, the consciousness, which is available for recognition as the sakshi in your mind, is nothing but the satya, the existence outside. That satya existence is nothing but this chitta, that one and the same. The satya, the sakshi, the chitta, the consciousness, which is the very existence. Just as light is the existence of the opaque object, consciousness, because of which cognition is possible, that consciousness is what now? Existence of the jagat, and which pervades everything also, which is of the nature of fullness, anandam, brahma, that aham brahmasmi, that jnanam, it becomes clear through study. You also understand the difference between nama rupa prapancha and the existence. And you have to remember an important word. How do you understand that? Asti bhati priyam rupam nama chetyam shapanchakam adyatrayam brahma rupam jagadrupam tatodvayam. You have to memorize this verse also. How are you going to see the difference here? When you study, definitely the author made very clear. What is it, the thing? The whole jagat is what now? you don't need to work hard for experiencing Brahman. You are always experiencing Brahman. You can never experience as what now? As existence of everything, as the what now? As the cognition of everything, as the desirability of any object. Brahman is experienced as the existence of Nam. Everything that you are experiencing as the this consciousness, the cognition of everything, as the desirability of any object, Brahman is experienced. But you are not you cannot experience Brahman purely as pure existence, as pure consciousness, or as pure limitlessness, or pure fullness, or happiness. You can't experience. So Brahman is experienced as the existence of any nama rupa, as the cognition of any nama rupa, as the desirability of any form and name. But if you want to really, that Brahman, as pure existence, as pure consciousness, a source of cognition, as pure happiness, pure limitlessness, is available for recognition only in your mind as the very Sakshi. Therefore, once you know, recognize Sakshi, you can distinguish Sakshi. See, the Sakshi, the absolute illuminator, and the Ahankara, the relative illuminator, mind. Now, the mind and Sakshi are physically inseparable. No guru, no teacher, no shastram, nothing in the world can physically separate and show. Come on, this is tumbler, this is spoon. Like that, physically separate and show consciousness and mind. Physically, they'll always be inseparable. Like, how can you separate the light and the opaque object? You can't separate. Physical separation is not possible, isn't it? You can, because wherever you take the opaque, it must be, it is there what? In the light only. Physical separation of pure consciousness, the Sakshi, and the mind is not possible. Physical separation of existence and the Namarupa is not possible. But cognitively, they can be separated. Only through cognition. Separation is through cognition only, through knowledge only. In terms of knowledge, you separate. How? A pure Sakshi is nothing but pure consciousness. But thoughts, the mind is what now? Nothing but vrittis, material, come and go, manifest and become unmanifest. They rise and resolve. You understand. Once you recognize the consciousness, then you understand, ascertain it. Then you'll see that same consciousness is the existence outside, which is there as the existence of every Namarupa. So he says, how do you experience Brahman as with everything? No experience is possible without the experiencer. The experiencer is inseparably with the experience, with the experienced object. Isn't it? In every experience, there are five aspects. How to see, separate, cognitive. Cognitive separation is possible. Asti bhati priyam. Asti, when you say something, is, world is, jagat asti means, jagat belongs to what now? Name. Jagat is a name which indicates a form. You say tumbler is, or light is, means a word, a nama, indicates a given form. With that, what is, the meaning of the word is, actually implies the existence. Light is means light's existence is. Tumbler is means tumbler's existence is. Jagat is means jagat's existence is. Jagat asti. Asti shabda is word implies what? Existence. So how to understand pure existence? Take any experience, remove the namarupa minus namarupa experience. Light is means what now? You got to say minus name and form. What is there is what? Existence. You have to remove cognitively. Similarly, Jagat Bhati, world shines when you say, shines means it is illumined. Illumined means they become what now? The covered power pervaded by vrittis. Isn't it? Jagat Bhati shines. Now I say, this tumbler shines means it is pervaded by what? Light, isn't it? Similarly, now light, the object shines because it is pervaded by light. Similarly, I say, the light is also pervaded. Sense power is pervaded, isn't it? By what? Vritti, isn't it? There is a vritti, cognition, is. Something shines means it is illumined. Illumined means there is cognition, is. There is no illumination of external object without the cognition inside. Cognition is, that means a vritti is, vritti goes out, vritti pervades, cognition is. Is it? Cognition is. Cognition is means what? Consciousness is. Consciousness is. Therefore, bhati word, something shines. Oh, look at the color. Color shines. Bhati, asti means bhati. You can't something asti without bhati. If something doesn't shine, how can you say it is? Asti means that is stands for existence. Bhati means the word bhati stands for what? Cognition, which implies consciousness. Bhati stands for consciousness. Have you got the point now? Bhati means what? That is cognition. Cognition implies consciousness. Bhati means bhanam asti, illumination is. Shines means bhati shines. Means what? Olirhirade. Means that now there is illumination. Bhanam is, illumination is. How illumination is? Because cognition is. Cognition is because consciousness is. Therefore, bhati implies consciousness. Asti bhati priyam. Priyam for given thing is what now? There is no object in the world which does not have desirability. All the objects may not be desirable for all the people, like halal for us, okay, for me. Okay, but all the objects may be desirable for all the people, but still, what I'm saying, this is, every object has its own desire. There are people who like it. Therefore, priyam also is that. Priyam stands for what? Desire, that is happiness. Happiness implies what? Fullness. Fullness implies what? Limitlessness. Anandam of Brahman. Therefore, if you take the Namarupa, then remove the Asti Bhati Priyam with every Namarupa has Asti Bhati Priyam. Pancha Amshaha. There are five aspects which go with every object of experience. You remove the Asti Bhati Priyam as what now? As Brahman. Namarupa is what now? Jagat. So, cognitive separation of existence, consciousness and limitlessness from your experience of any object, and see that Namarupa alone is what? Jagat. Adyatrayam Brahma Rupam, Tatodvayam Jagad Rupam. You understand. And that Satyam, the existence, what you experience as the ease, in your experience, what you see as asti, as bhati, as priyam, the existence, consciousness and happiness, that is nothing but what? Which you recognize here as pure consciousness. You understand they're not two different things. What is consciousness inside is the existence outside. What is outside as existence is nothing but consciousness, pure consciousness, which you recognize inside as the very content of the experiencer. This you understand, then aham also what now you understand, still we forget due to the habitual misconception or habitual error. We forget this, we can't remember this fact, even though it's a really big fact. Aham Brahma Asmi is a fact which one has to recognize, understand, then again and again and again and again, again and again and again remember, then assimilate, then thereby we will not be emotionally shattered. Isn't it? That is what is moksha, for which the author presents how to assimilate this fact. First you must have understood. The author takes it for granted that he thinks we have understood. Okay, then he said, okay, how to have it assimilated, how to get it ascertained. The fourth topic he presents, and for which he teaches us the method of contemplation. It's a contemplative method. It is one of the methods of contemplation. The best method of contemplation is regularly going to the class, listening again and 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 again, and I can go on the whole day listening without missing the classes, with the commitment, with great shraddha. See, regularly listening. Since now, only now, we know what is systematic study. Tattva Bodha. I don't think you would have understood even before this. Drik Drisha must have opened up a little bit for you. Actually, understanding itself must have started only now. Before this itself, we decided, we know everything and we found it's repeating and we feel bored and all that. I know what is starting to understand. The understanding itself begins only now, after having done Tattva Bodha, after having done the Drik Drishya. Actually, other class I'm going very systematically. I've done Bhaja Govindam, then Upadesha Saraha. Now, systematically go, only now understanding begins. And now whatever doubts you have, you know, some vagueness is there. So today Swami has something about some ahankara. It has gone into a buddhi now, I know that. It'll all fall in its place. Without interrupting, just keep on coming and listening. What has been said, take it and put it in your book. Where something comes and scratches here, you want some back scratching. Something is, you know, itching at the back now. What is this ahankara? Something suddenly she said about it. Don't worry, it will fall in its place. It will become clear in due course of time. Okay? Next is what now? Contemplative method. You all of you go and have tea. I started moving now. So go and have your nice tea.